Genesis 37, 37th chapter of Genesis. We started last week. I'm going to do 4 weeks on the life of Joseph. And we're taking his life and choosing out 4 very specific things that happened to him. And we're learning how to overcome obstacles in our life. A 4-week series on how to overcome obstacles. Last week, we saw that God gave Joseph a dream. And that dream was something that came from the Lord. But you know what? There was not one person in his life that supported his dream or believed in his dream. Matter of fact, the Bible says the reaction of his own brothers was that they hated him because he had a dream. His father reproved him, rebuked him because of the telling of the dream. And we talked about how to overcome when people don't believe in you, when people don't believe in you. There's always going to be folks in your life, I call them dream killers. It's like they don't have much going on in their life, and if they find out you've got the desire to do anything or go forward or better yourself, boy, here they come, and you can't do it. You'll never accomplish it, and it isn't going to happen. I don't know who you think you are, but we saw Joseph. You know what? He refused to let go of his dream, no matter what the response around him was. We're going to see that God is going to put some more allow some more obstacles to be put in place in front of Joseph, because from the day that he dreamed it, we talked about this in Sunday school, okay? David was anointed king of Israel. It was a long time before he became the king of Israel, because he had to go through some things that would prepare him to succeed. And God gave Joseph a dream when he was very young, but it was a time period, some things he had to go through before that dream would come true. And so we're going to see that things begin to even go downhill more in Joseph's life. If you'll stand with me, Genesis chapter 37, and if you look at verse number 23, Genesis 37 and verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Jump down to verse 27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchants, men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. Look at verse number 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, dear God, for your goodness to us. And Lord, thank you for the stories in the Bible. They certainly encourage us because, Lord, we may not face the same things that Joseph faced, but Lord, if you've put a dream and it comes from you, if it comes from you and you put a dream in our heart, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be some obstacles between, Lord, that dream and the fulfillment of that dream. And Lord, thank you for this man. He had an overcomer spirit about him. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we can also, because of you, and Lord, because of your strength and your help, we can be overcomers no matter what we have to face in life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How to overcome your obstacles. This is the second part, the 4-part message. The Bible is a book of overcomers. Most Bible heroes were required to overcome obstacles in their life. What that means is they did not have a clear, clean path to success. And the life of Joseph is a life that has a lot of negatives. A lot of things came into his life. A lot of hard things came into his life. He faced betrayals. He faced setbacks. He had trials. He had testings. But you know what? Joseph would one day become the second most powerful man in the world. And by the way, he would use then that power to save his family from starvation. Yeah, the same crew that just sold him into slavery, he's going to save them from starvation. But by the way, that was important because Joseph was preserving the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Between where he was and where he would eventually be, there would be many obstacles. Last week, we taught you how to react to those who would kill your dreams. people who do not believe in you this week. Things are going to get tougher for Joseph. We're going to talk about this subject this morning. Obstacle number two, circumstances that enslave you. Circumstances that enslave you. I'm talking about circumstances sometimes that are not in your control. Things completely out of your control. Joseph didn't want this. He didn't wish for this. But you know what? He didn't have a vote in it. Circumstances of life took over. We read in Genesis 37 that as he went out, he was sent by his father, just obeying what his father told him to do. And he was sent out to check on his brothers as they were minding the herds. And they saw that coat of many colors from a long way off. And they said, that's got to be Joseph. And they hated him. And when he came to them, the Bible says that the first thing they did was they roughed him up and they ripped the coat off of him. And then they threw him down into a pit. Some of them wanted to kill him. Some of the brothers wanted to kill him. One of the brothers talked him into, let's just sell him into slavery. And so they ended up selling him off as a slave. And they took that money and put it in their pocket. Then the Bible says that they took that coat of many colors and they slew an animal and they took the blood and put it on his coat. And they came back home with a big story, a big whopping lie about what happened. And they brought that coat of many colors to his father and there's blood on it. And they said, we found this out in the wilderness. Some beast must have torn him and destroyed him. This is all we found left of him. And his father wept and wept and said, I'm going to grieve myself to death over this. And you know what? They thought they got rid of the problem. All of a sudden, Joseph's entire situation, his entire life's been turned upside down. Think about this. I mean, just a day or so before, he was the favored son with the coat of many colors. And seems like that he had his whole future ahead of him and everything was going well. And he was trusted by his father. And you know what? He didn't do anything wrong. He just obeyed Dad and did exactly what Dad said to do. And all of a sudden now, can you see him as he's watching his brothers take that little bag of silver? Come on, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being betrayed by Judas. Can you imagine him looking at his brothers as they watched him tied, his hands tied, and he's being led off, you know, on the back, tied to some camel or some donkey or something like that. And there they see him drug off as a slave, drug off. All of a sudden, he ends up in Egypt, and next thing you know, he's on the seller's block, and there's an auction, and he's being bid for, and next thing you know, the gavel hits, and now he belongs to Potiphar, and now he's a slave. He went from the favored son to being a slave. By the way, these circumstances were out of his control. Folks, look right up here. Let me help you. There's going to be circumstances sometimes come into your life that you didn't wish for. You didn't want to happen. It's just, and you didn't get a vote in it. Just happened. Sometimes we contribute to those circumstances. Sometimes we have no say whatsoever. And next thing you know, here he is. These are the circumstances that happened to Joseph beyond his control. His brothers had betrayed him. Now he finds himself reduced, listen, to a piece of property. He's lost his family, his freedom. He's enslaved. Here's the question. Okay, Joseph, here's the question. Now what? Now what? You know why I ask that question? Because what he does with what he can't control is about to define him. Is about to define him. I want to be encouraged. Will you pray for me as I preach on this message? How to overcome your obstacles, circumstances that enslave you. If you feel trapped, whether it is of your own doing or someone else's, there's a right way to react and a wrong way to react. You might feel trapped by your financial situation. By the way, come the next six Sunday nights. I'm going to take six or seven Sunday nights, and we're going to start it tonight. We're going to do a series on stewardship. We're going to do a series on finances. You know, sometimes we get into a situation not of our own choosing, and next thing you know, it feels like I'm in prison. I'm enslaved by my situation. You ever felt trapped because of your financial situation, trapped because of your health situation? Sometimes we just feel like we're trapped in our own bodies. Preacher, I wrestle and I struggle with depression. I don't want it to be this way, and I don't like being this way, but I don't know how to keep from being this way. What are we going to do when we're faced with situations that we can't control because Whatever Joseph is going to choose to do now is going to define him. Look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter number 39. Chapter number 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I want to just point out several things that I hope will be an encouragement to you in whatever you're facing this morning. Number one, don't waste time on self-pity. Don't waste time on self-pity. Now, folks, there's no record in the Bible of Joseph wasting any time feeling sorry for himself. Now, I want to say this. I know what the human reaction is. Whether the Bible tends to record it or not, you're not going to convince me that there wasn't a period of time where he was disappointed. There wasn't some anger that he had to deal with about what his brothers did to him. I'm sure he felt betrayed. Have you ever felt betrayed? I'm sure he felt betrayed. But wait a minute, what are you going to do with all those feelings? He shows up. He's put on the block. He's auctioned off. He lands as a slave in Potiphar's house. Now he's got to make a decision. Are you going to sit over in the corner and feel sorry for yourself, or what are you going to do? And you know what? As I mentioned, there's no record of Joseph wasting time with this. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. Yes, he had to deal with all of these feelings, but you know what he decided to do? He decided to take those feelings and set them aside because there were more important things to think about. Folks, I want to say this. Self-pity produces a victim's mentality. And with God's help, no matter what circumstance you face in life, God does not want you to face them as a victim. He wants you to become a victor. Sometimes people use the phrase, well, they're a victim of circumstance. And I want to say, well, that's a shame. They could be a victor over the circumstances. You have to make a decision in your life. Listen, you're not the first one to face hard times. You're not going to be the last one to face hard times. Say, well, preacher, no one's ever suffered like me. You need to read the book of Job. And realize that you don't have it as bad as you sometimes convince ourselves we have. But self-pity produces a victim's mentality. Worse than that, self-pity produces an entitlement mentality. Because I've been mistreated, somebody owes me something. Well, let me give you a wake-up call. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes me anything. You know what? You're going to have to decide what you're going to do and how you're going to respond to your circumstances. As long as you believe that someone else needs to solve your problems, you'll never take the initiative to solve your own problems. What you have to do is take all of that to the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. I didn't wish for it. I didn't choose it. But here I am. And Lord, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. So number one, don't waste time with self-pity. Number two, well, this is important. Maybe the most important thing I say this morning. Control what you can control. And accept what you cannot control. Control what you can control and accept what you cannot control. Here is where I believe Joseph separates himself from most men. You see, he finally just stopped. Come on, you can sit there and be mad, but how's that working for you? You can sit there and be bitter. How's that working for you? You can sit there and self-pity. How's that working for you? Well, Joseph finally just said, well, I may not like it. And I didn't choose it, and I don't want it. But you know what? I didn't get a boat in it. So I'm a slave. And you know what? I'm going to control what I can control, and whatever I can't control, I'm just going to accept as the will of God. So, see, he evaluated his situation. Then he asked himself, what can I control, and what is out of my control? Well, he was a slave in Egypt. That wasn't going to change, folks. Wasn't going to change. He could sit there and look out the window all day long. Hey, Daddy don't even know he's dead. There's no rescue team coming. All right, so what is it that he can control? He's not going to be allowed to go home. Circumstance isn't going to change, so what can he control? Number three, you know what he just said? This. He said this. Well, I can roll up my sleeves and go to work. I can roll up my sleeves and go to work. You know what he decided to do? He decided, well, these are my present circumstances. This is my job. These are my assigned duties. I can sit around. I can mope around. I can half do them. Probably end up getting beat. Or what I could do is just say, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I didn't wish for it. I didn't choose it. But you know what? This is my present circumstance. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to go to work. He decided to get to work. But this is what God's allowed for this time in his life. And hey, why not make the best of it? Watch this, folks. His character kicked in. His character kicked in. Yes, he was a slave and that was beyond his control. So why not be the... Think about this. Why not be the hardest working slave in Egypt? Why not put his mind and heart into doing his best? I didn't choose to do this today, and I wouldn't have chosen to do these tasks, but they need to be done, and somebody's got to do them. So I think I'll just implement the biblical principles of diligence. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Psalms 22, verse 29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall judge, stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And you know what? He believed these Bible principles and he decided to live out those Bible principles. And he said, you know what? I can be lazy. And by the way, folks, laziness compounds whatever problems you're facing. Let me say it again. Laziness, are you there, man? Laziness compounds whatever problems you're facing. Hard work will solve a lot of problems in your life. Okay, if you're enslaved, okay, then work your way out of it. I don't like the financial situation I'm in. Well, get to work. Roll up your sleeves. Get to work. I understand you can't control everything, but there's some things you can control. You must do something, even if it's something you didn't wish you had to do. Do your best. Do your best. Do your best. I've had to give this counsel to a lot of people through the years because more and more we're raising a generation that has a victim's mentality and an entitlement mentality. And they just kind of figure that somebody else is supposed to just hand them everything in life with as minimum effort on their part as possible. That's not the way the world works. That's not the reality of the situation. Sometimes I've had to look at men and say this, every day you go to work, you're solving 95% of your problems. I want you to hear what I just said. I don't know what your list of problems are, but let me tell you what will solve 95% of almost all your problems. Setting an alarm clock, getting out of bed, and going to work every day. Well, I'm just depressed. You're depressed because you're sitting around. Come on, come on. You're depressed because you're not doing anything. Set the alarm, get up, and go to work, and go to work, and go to work. Every day you don't go to work, you're compounding your problems. I believe that 95% of all problems in life would be solved or prevented if you just decided to get up every morning early and just go to work. You know what he said? He said, I'm a slave, but I'm going to be the best slave ever. I like that mentality. Men, do you have that mentality of the place that you work? I've never worked a job in my life where I didn't show up and say, I'm going to be the best one that does this. I mean that. They hired me to work at United Parcel Service. I was working my way through Bible college, and they said, you're going to load these semi-trucks. And I looked around up and down, and I said, how many guys are on the dock loading? And they said, there's about 8 or 9 of you that will be loading these semis. And I looked up and down at the other 8 or 9 guys, and I thought to myself, I don't even know what I'm doing yet, but I'm going to be better than all of you at doing it. Come on, where's that at in the young men today? Come on, so many guys are showing up with, all right, how can I do the least today? How can I be the slowest? They feel like they're winning if they did less work than everybody else. And I grew up in a generation that felt like we were winning if we did more work than everybody else. Come on, there's not a whole lot wrong with America that wouldn't get solved if able-bodied men, every able-bodied man, I understand there's people that can't, but every able-bodied man would just get up and go to work. Go to work. You know what he said? He said, you know what? I'm going to overcome my obstacles. Yeah, I'm enslaved, and I didn't get a choice in it. Preacher, I've had some financial setbacks, and I didn't have a choice in them. I've had some things happen, and I didn't have a choice in them. All right. What are you going to do about it? This is what God's allowed for this time, and Joseph's life, and you know what he said? He said, I'm going to make the best of it. As I mentioned earlier, his character kicked in. Yes, he was a slave, and that wasn't going to change, so why not be the hardest working slave in Egypt? Why not just put his mind and heart into doing his best. How about Ecclesiastes 9:10? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whether thou goest. I walked around, preached to country. I preached to young people a lot. I preached this message here. I preached it in chapel. Ecclesiastes 9:10, I believe, gives you five secrets for success. The Bible says, first of all, whatsoever thy hand find to do, whatsoever. There's no unimportant job. Young people, you learn that as a child growing up. There's no unimportant job. If your job is to take out the trash, then be the best trash taker outer in the United States of America. I don't have to do it. Don't pull it out, have a bunch of trash fall on the floor, and then just go ahead and drag it off, not tie it off properly, and dump some along the ground as you're going, and then not go back in and put a fresh bag in. If you're going to do something, well, preacher, it's just a little job. There are no such things as little jobs. Whatsoever teaches us there's no unimportant jobs. Thy hand findeth to do. Whatsoever thy hand, let me fix a lot of things wrong in America. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Thank you. Mind your own business. What's in your hand to do? This is the average America. Well, what's he doing? Well, what's he doing? Well, what's she doing? Well, what's he doing? Well, I wouldn't do it like that. I don't know why they're doing it that way. What are you doing? You know what you're doing? You're not doing your work. Come on. We've got a whole nation of busybodies. We've got a whole nation of everybody and everybody else's business. You know, we've got a bunch of people in town. And in the country, come on, this is a rural sin too. Rural America, all right? You know what? They'll get in their truck and they'll drive around, look at everybody else's property and talk about what they would do and what they ought to do. And I don't know why they don't do it. Like, well, you're not working on yours while you're doing that. Let me tell you what I'm focused on. I'm focused on what God put in my hand to do. What he's put my hand to do. That's my responsibility. That's my job. That's what I have. What I have 100% of my attention on is what God's given my hand to do. Now, if God's given you a job and you need some help with it, and I can help, I'll help you. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not doing it for you because it's not my job, it's your job. Are you with me? All right. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Thy hand. How about the next phrase there? Findeth to do. Findeth to do. Do you hear that? Doesn't say assigned to do. Doesn't say made to do. It says whatsoever thy hand find it to do. Stay busy on purpose. I don't understand people that are bored. You know why I lost that little saying out of my life a long time ago? Because Bob Ross was my dad. And as a boy, you never wanted to say these two words where he could hear it. I'm bored. I'm bored. Because you know what, dude? He would unbore you. He would make sure that you did not have anything lacking to do in the foreseeable future. Come on now, findeth to do, findeth to do, findeth to do. Well, I don't have anything to do. Well, good night, look around you. Are you kidding me? Just walk around your property, look around. Come on, there's all kinds of people that you can be a blessing to. There's all kinds of people that need help. Well, you see, what we do is, you say, preacher, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I know you're so focused on what you can't do. What can you do? What could you do tomorrow? What could you do if you decided to find it to do? Stay busy on purpose. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. Always do your best. Always do your best. Always. Come on, moms and dads, don't let off on this. If you let kids half do jobs and you make excuses for them and you allow laziness, then you're setting up a pattern in their life that's going to continue all through their life. Listen, don't let them get by with half doing things. Young man, listen to me. It ought not be mom and dad that have to motivate you in this area of your life. Time you hit 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age, it ought to grate your soul. You ought not to be able to sleep at night knowing that you did a job and you only did it part way. And you didn't do it all the way. And you didn't do it the best. It ought to keep you up at night. I mean, it ought to vex your soul to think that you were given something to do and you only put half an effort in it. Because that's not the mentality that built the United States of America. But for loss of this mentality, we're watching our nation go to ruin. So think about it. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Always do your best. And the rest of the verse goes on to say, there's no device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whether thou goest. And folks, listen to me. You only have the amount of life you have, and you better do it while you're here. Work, for the night cometh when no man can work. And so here's the opportunity. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. We're going to be next Sunday night having our vision night. We're going to be casting our vision, and we're going to be talking about some of the things we're going to accomplish at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? If you come here and you join this church and you're bored, it's not because your pastor has not given you opportunities to be involved. Let's do something for the Lord. See, Joseph decided to take ownership of his situation. Okay, he may have been owned by someone else, but he could take ownership of his situation. He could control what he could control. He believed that God was still in control and God would bless his diligence. He believed in those biblical principles. So what he did control, could control, he did control. What he couldn't control, he accepted as the will of God. He didn't worry about it. See, Joseph may have been a slave, but he was an honest slave. He may have been a slave, but he was a hardworking slave. He may have been a slave, but he was a diligent slave. He may have been a slave, but he was a courteous slave. He may have been a slave, but he was a slave with the right kind of an attitude, and because of that, he earned the trust and respect of Potiphar. You know, folks, there's going to be things that happen in your life, and sometimes they're a domino effect thing, and circumstances just take over, and next thing you know, you went from this to this in a short amount of time, and you think to yourself, how did I get here? I was finishing up my second semester of my third year of Bible college, and that spring, they decided that they were going to have all of the bus divisions. I was division leader, and they were going to have pastor school. It's coming up in March. Brother Hiles decided he wanted to put on a parade, and that every bus division had to build a float. Okay, I'm in the middle of Bible college. I'm working two part-time jobs and trying to keep up on my studies, and the powers that be come in and say, hey, we've got 2 weeks to put together a float for every ministry in the church, and every bus division has to have a float. I'd never built a float in all of my life. So I began to go to the men in my division. I said, hey, we got to figure out a plan when we're going to get this done. I had a meeting. When we're going to get it done? I got this, and I don't know if I can come at that time. Well, guys, we got to get it done. So you know what ended up happening? Me and two other guys, for the most part, built this entire float. And folks, right or wrong, and I'm not saying I made every decision correctly. You know, so like I said, sometimes circumstances, sometimes you contribute to it. But if it was going to get done in the time frame it had to be done, you know what I did? I took absences from my classes. I was allowed a certain amount of absences from my classes. And so I took those absences from my classes. Why? To build a stupid float. But I'm going to tell you this, it was an awesome float. I mean, even if I do something stupid in life, it's going to be stupid good, all right? It was amazing. It was the coolest float ever, okay? And we did it. I can still tell you about it if you want to, man. We took a trailer, and we built on the side of it these clouds, you know? And, you know, I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all right? All right, bus until that blessed hope was the name on the both sides of the thing. We had clouds on the side of this trailer, and we had built a bus coming up out of the clouds like it's being raptured to heaven, man. It was amazing. It was so cool. Yeah, as I'm skipping out on classes to build it. And I mean, I've used all the you know, absentees I'm allowed. And I get done with this thing, and we have the parade, and we do pastor school, and then we've got about 6 weeks left in college, and I'm getting back in class. I'm doing catch-up, and I'm trying to catch up on some of the things I missed and all this. And, folks, I got sick, and I don't get sick much. I want to say this, thank the Lord. And I know a lot of you deal with health issues, and some of you deal with them from a young age, but I just, you know, I haven't had a lot of health issues as far as that. But I mean, it was one of those times where I just got sick, and I just got so sick I couldn't attend class. And you know what I did? Watch this. I want you to listen to it. I over-absenced every single class and lost every single class and every single credit that I had worked to pass, that I had to pay for out of my pocket to go to. And I ended up at the end of the semester with a bill to finish paying off a semester that I lost everything. It wasn't doing me any good. Okay, then I go into the summer, so I'm behind financially. But did I tell you the float was amazing? And I'm not bitter about it either, can you tell? And the blessed hope, man, bust until that blessed hope. And I think they tore it down back the day afterwards. It's never, I don't know. I don't even know if anybody came out and watched the parade. I don't know what happened. So then I go into the summer and I think, well, I gotta take some extra work. I gotta get caught up. Did you listen to me? I gotta get caught up. Well, it's because of that parade. Well, if more guys would have helped on the float, I wouldn't have had to miss some. Come on. And you know what? Maybe your complaints are legit. But circumstances are what they are. Well, Lord, I don't know why you let me get sick. Come on. Are you going to be a victim or a victor, Mr. Jerry Ross, future pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? We might as well find out now. Okay, because see, folks, what we're going to learn here at the end here is Potiphar was watching. Okay, Potiphar was Joseph's master. So the master's watching. Okay? Maybe you didn't get a vote in the circumstances, but what are you going to do with them? So I'm working the bus ministry on weekend. I'm working a full-time job and another part-time job, and I'm trying to get caught up financially. I go up, you're going to believe this. One Saturday night, I go up to Chicago, and I visit all day, and there was a guy that was supposed to come by and pick up me and two other guys to get us home. Okay? And he forgot to come by and get us. And it's now 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. I'm in the ghettos of Chicago and I am waiting for my ride and they're not coming. I think it was 8 o'clock. And so I'm sitting there stuck. And I'm like, now what are we going to do? How are we going to get home? And somebody said, well, the next division over, they have a prayer meeting over here. If we can get over to that one, because we went over to where our prayer meeting was and all the guys were gone. So I went and knocked on the door of one of the families in our church. And I said, I've got to get a ride up to where this prayer meeting is. And the guy said, well, I can't take you. And by the way, I didn't want him to take me. He was drunk. But he said, hey, you can take my car. And then he said, you just go up there and then have him follow you back and bring your car back. I said, all right. You know, so I jumped in the car. Me and these two other guys were cutting through a very bad section of Chicago to get to this next area. And I'm coming up to this intersection and the light's green. And I go right through that intersection and our light's green. And as soon as I get halfway through the intersection, I get T-boned from the other direction. Have you ever been in a wreck where you got T-boned? T-boned on the other direction. And I mean, that dude was moving and I got T-boned. It shoved our car and us two all the way up onto the sidewalk in the front yard of some little business right there. Now I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness sakes. Folks, I just borrowed this car. I get out. Funny story. I get out. Our guys are okay. You guys okay? Went over the car. You okay? Yeah. I am in a very bad neighborhood of Chicago. Okay. Y'all know what it feels like to feel like a minority in Greene and Clay County? Jerry Ross was a minority in that neighborhood, a minority of that neighborhood. And here comes everybody out, and they're not mad. They're not happy because I caused a wreck. And I'm thinking, I didn't cause a wreck. So three of us are here, and all of a sudden there is a mob starting to form. And they're yelling stuff at us. And I'm like, oh, my goodness sakes. So I kind of back up against this building and there's a park bench here and the two guys are with me and they're looking like, what are we going to do? And there's this guy sitting on the park bench and he's sitting there and he's laughing. And I said, is this funny? He said, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I said, what? He said, for an hour I've been watching this stoplight. And he said, when the direction you come from turns green, right before, when still green, he said, like, it'll turn green, but the light from this direction stays green for about 5 seconds. They're both green. And I said, how long you been watching this? About an hour. I said, did you think to call somebody about this? He's like, no, I wanted to see the wreck. He said, come with me. I said, why? He said, because you need me right now. You come with me. Walk me into his house. Let me use the phone. I got a hold of somebody that came and picked this up. I got to go back to the house I borrowed the car from. Now, folks, I'm still trying to pay off a semester that I owe money on that I'm getting no credits out of. Okay, but did I tell you the float was amazing? And so I'm still dealing with the bitterness of the float, and I'm dealing with financial issues, and I'm dealing with a car, and I go back and I said to them, hey, this is what happened, man. There's this intersection. They had green lights, and the guy just sitting there looking at me, and he's like, I said, tell me you got insurance. I don't have insurance. I said, you don't have insurance. I don't have insurance. I said, you don't have insurance. Now, folks, listen to me. Biblical principles. Come on. You get in a mess, all of a sudden, you don't want to follow biblical principles. I didn't want to follow biblical principles right then. I wanted to say, well, you're an idiot. You should have had insurance on the car. It's not my problem. I'm sorry, it is my problem. Come on, are you listening to me? Who borrowed the car? I did. Until I return it, whose responsibility is it? Did I like it? Was it my fault there was a light that turned green and overlapped? No. And that there was this idiot that just wanted to see the wreck? No. I'm trying to tell you there's going to be those times where it's just like, what is going to happen next? I said, well, I'll come by tomorrow and I'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon about it. Finish my bus route Sunday afternoon. I got to go sit down at the table with this family. And you know what? That car was a piece of junk. But now that is not how they remembered their car. All of a sudden, they spent an hour telling me that they just had this done to it, and they just had that done, and they just put this money, and it ran like a top. It was a piece of junk. But guess what? Doesn't matter. You know why? I got to make this right. And I realized to make it right where they're happy, I'm going to have to make it more than right. But did they come out to the street and say, hey, please take my car? Did I knock on the door and ask to borrow it? Come on, folks, I'm just telling you, sometimes circumstances start snowballing. So now I'm halfway through the summer, and not only am I trying to pay off a school bill, but I take the car that I have, which is five times the car that they had, and I drive it to their house with the title, and I sign it to them, and I give them the keys and said, if you take this car, would you be happy with this car? And they were very happy with that car. And they should have been very happy with that car. But you know what? I kept a good relationship. Yeah, it was a better car. But you know what? I had to make it right. That's the only way I knew to have. I didn't have. He said, I got to have something to go to work with. Folks, I didn't have time to work, save money, buy a car. So now I'm without a car. So I'm bumming rides everywhere. Okay. Then all of a sudden, the summer's over. I don't have enough money to re-enroll in Bible college. Okay? So I've been staying in the dorms all summer. So now I can't re-enroll in Bible college. So guess what the policy of the college is? You can stay the summer, but if you don't re-enroll, so I go talk to the powers that be at the college. I said, can I explain my circumstance? Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And we hate it. I said, so can I stay in the dorms? No. But I didn't ask for this. 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 Yep, I know. But that's our policy. Okay, so now I got a reason to be mad at the college, right? Better see. Listen, you've got to decide. By the way, was that their policy? Yeah. Honestly, looking back, was it a good policy? Yeah, they can't just let people stay in the dorms that aren't enrolled in Bible college. They're not running a motel. But at the time, I was walking back going, I don't believe this. I don't believe this stupid float. I built the best float they've ever seen in the country. All I do is go out every weekend up in Chicago and try to help people. Come on, come on. I'm just telling you. Your circumstance may not be the same as what I just described, but you have gone through similar circumstances. And it just seems like God's going, bam, 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 bam. Now, wait a minute. What can I control? I can't control a stoplight. I can't control that that car came through at the exact moment. I can't control that I got sick. Okay? I can't control. I'm working a full-time job and a half. There's no other hours in the day. Okay, so you know what I did? I went to my dorm. And you know what I did? I started packing my stuff up. You know what I did? I backed that car up. It wasn't my car. A borrowed car. I backed that car up. Opened the hatch. Threw my stuff in. I got on the phone and found a little apartment. Basement apartment in Hammond that I could rent a month at a time. And I moved into a basement apartment in Hammond. And I'm sitting in this basement apartment thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? I did not come all the way up to Hammond, Indiana to be living in a basement apartment. Lord, I thought you called me to preach. I mean, I could have done a lot of things with my life, Lord. I didn't choose this direction. You chose this direction. And it just seems like the harder I try, come on, listen to me. The harder I try, the harder I try. And so I sat there and I threw my little pity party, sent out invitations. Nobody came, but threw my little pity party. And then after about an evening of that, I stood up and said, you know what? I'm Bob Ross's son. And God's still on the throne. And I didn't choose this, but for whatever reason, God allowed it. And this must be part of his will. And so what do I, listen, I want to give this to you. What can I right now control? What can I control? You know what I did? Instead of working one part-time job and a full-time job, you know what I did for the next 3 months? I worked two full-time jobs. You know what I did? I paid off my school bill. And you know what I did? I made right what I did with that car situation. And you know what I did? I put money in the bank and saved. And you know what I did? Come January, I re-enrolled in Bible college. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen to me. You're going to sometimes get enslaved by circumstances that you didn't have a say in and you didn't have a vote in. But you got to make some decisions. And you know what Joseph did? He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go to work. Genesis chapter 39, verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all things that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You know why? You know why all that happened? Because he decided, I'm not going to spend my life with a bunch of bitterness heart towards my brothers. And I'm not going to spend my life blaming God. And I'm not going to spend my life blaming my father. He should have never sent me on that trip. And I'm not going to spend my life mad at a circumstance that I can't control. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, if I'm going to be a slave, y'all just watch. Because you're about to see the best slave that's ever been in Egypt. And he worked so hard that the master watched him and he began to trust him with more things and trust him with more things, trust him with more. You know why? Because he worked hard and he had the right attitude. If you'll work hard and keep the right attitude, people will notice that. And you know what? I believe God, our master, allows circumstances sometimes to come into our life. You know why? Because he wants to see whether or not we will control what we can control, whether we'll still work, whether we'll listen. Joseph, are you going to give up on your dream or not? Jerry Ross, are you going to give up on your dream or not? You going to walk away from your calling or not? You going to quit Bible college and go home with your tail tucked between your legs or not? What are you going to do now? So you know what? Joseph just went to work. What did Potiphar see in Joseph? Did he see self-pity? Did he see a bad attitude? Did he see laziness? Did he see dishonesty? No! Potiphar saw Joseph's relationship with God. I love that. The master saw that the Lord was with him. First thing Potiphar noticed was that Joseph was that the Lord was with him. Joseph was not ashamed of his godly heritage. He talked about the Lord and he gave credit to the Lord. Potiphar heard Joseph give credit to God for blessings that they were receiving. You know what? He said that he saw that it was Joseph's God that made all things that he did to prosper. Potiphar saw that he could trust Joseph with everything he had. Potiphar tested Joseph. Listen, you don't trust somebody until you test somebody. And I promise you, he tested him. He saw that Joseph was completely honest. He didn't lie. He didn't cheat. He didn't steal from his master. And soon Potiphar decided that he could trust him with everything that he had. Potiphar saw a man who could successfully work with people. The Bible said Joseph also was a goodly person and well-favored. Listen, some men can get a job, but they run over so many people in the process that they, listen, Joseph treated people with respect and in return gained their respect. And you know what God's saying? God's saying that dream that I put in your heart as a boy, I know that was here, but you're going to have to overcome some obstacles before it comes true. You know what, David, we talked about in Sunday school, I sent Samuel to anoint you king of Israel. But when he's hiding in the wilderness up in the mountain and he's a fugitive and he's a wanted man and Saul is trying to kill him, God's like, are you going to give up on it or not? Hey, young people, some of you, honestly, you're not facing a whole lot yet. You know why? Mom and dad carries a lot of stuff for you. But it doesn't mean that sooner or later you're not going to have to face it. Hey, preacher, I just feel like God wants me to do this and God won't. I feel like this is God's call in my life and God's leading in my life. Well, let me tell you what's waiting for you out there. A bunch of obstacles. Control. I'm done. Control what you can control. The rest of it, put it in the hands of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you, dear God, for these wonderful Bible stories, things that happened thousands of years ago, and yet they still teach us principles and precepts that will work in today's world. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, as all of us, as we follow your will, and we try to do what you've called us to do and asked us to do, Lord, help us to respond properly when obstacles come our way. Lord, I pray that you would baptize each and every one of us with this overcomer's mentality. We may not like some of the things that is allowed to come into our life, but we should not, we cannot let them defeat us. So, Lord, I pray for that one, two, three, or maybe a handful of people that they're right in the middle of it this morning. Dear Lord, it seems like life's kind of spinning out of control. Just pray, Lord, that you would help them through the precepts and principles of your word, we pray in Jesus' name.